Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 109 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Yay!
Yay! It's hot in Seattle.
It sure is.
So we...
We were complaining about that last time, too.
Yeah, well, I was also baking cookies, so yes. It's extra hot in here. Okay. But there might be ambient noise because I'm not closing the windows.
Yeah.
I did last time, but it's too warm for
that. We need the air.
We do. Alrighty. So,
Cardi Party
2015. Cardi Party starts on August 15th, which is in a few days. This might come out after that. I started a thread in the group for it. It runs from August 15th through November 15th. Cardigans only, because it's a Cardi Party.
But that's pretty much the only rule, right?
Yeah, whips count, and I'll round up some prizes.
Cool.
So, TBD. I just decided to start that today. Also, because I'm going to start a cardigan when I'm on vacation. So, it's like, good timing.
As opposed to the cardigan you're knitting right now.
Oh, this is a pullover.
Oh, this is a pullover? Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Now I remember which one it is. Okay.
Yeah. It's orange.
I gotcha.
Pictures.
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
I'm jumping ahead.
All right. What you been working on?
Well, I had a little finishing flurry. I finished my cameo, which I was really close to finishing the last time we recorded. Yeah. And I had the same experience I always have with garter stitch shawls, which is that when it comes off the needles, I'm like, oh my god, this is tiny. And then you block it, and it's like, oh my god, this is huge. Because they just stretch out so much. So it's this super... I mean, I could have blocked it differently, but I blocked it for length rather than for width. So it's like...
I prefer them to be long, though.
Me
too.
You
can wrap them more.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really soft, and everyone likes the colors a lot, so...
I like your colors.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Green and green.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finished my sock blank socks, which had been sitting around for ages.
Well, you haven't knit socks in forever.
I know. And those I started... I had to look it up on Ravelry. I started in April... And then I'd, like, knit on them a little bit and be like, eh, this is boring, and put them away. And I mean, because I was just knitting them plain. They were very annoying to knit because, so I bought one of those sock blanks from Knit Picks years ago, and I finally dyed it. And the way they do theirs is it's two strands of their straw base held together.
In one
place. And then machine knit. So to knit them, you have to knit them two at a time. The yarn is very sticky, and it kind of tangles on itself. And my needles, like, I couldn't find my 40-inch circular, so I was doing it on, like, 232s, and one of them was very kinky, and it was just annoying. It wasn't, it like...
sounds like an unpleasant knitting experience.
Yeah,
this is the time of the evening when all the motorcycles and, like, scooters and stuff, everything go by. I apologize.
It's the sound of summer in the city.
I know.
I realized my kids, we were walking this afternoon, and I realized my kids were total such city kids because my son, older son, had spent a couple days north of the city at a cabin with a friend's family, and it was the first time in his life he'd ever seen a chipmunk, which was like a big deal. And he's like, I saw rabbits and I saw a chipmunk. And then my younger son's like, I saw two dead rats at running practice this morning. And I thought, I have such city kids. Like, they've never seen a chipmunk, but they know where all the dead rats are in the city. Like, yeah, city kids. So,
anyway. You're number six in the nation for rats.
I know, I saw that.
Jody said she saw a place that was number seven. So we're like six and a half. So that makes it better. I don't know.
Anyway, so I finally finished the sock blank socks. They are, surprise, they're blue-green. I dyed the thing last summer at Weaving Camp. And they fit really well, so I'm happy that they're done. And then I knit an Xing X's with some old Cascade 220 because I went to the movies last week, which we'll talk about later. And so I just had this, like, little finishing flurry where I'm like, done, done, done.
Cool.
And now I'm just starting. So we had a de-stash at Pearly Girls last week. And Andy came in with the most giant bag full of Cascade 220 partial skeins and a few full skeins. And was like, here, you can have this for your charity knitting or whatever. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. So I've started a Helix hat. But I, like, weighed it all out this afternoon, And in oddballs, she gave me the equivalent of 11 and a half skeins of Cascade 220.
That's a lot of hats.
It's a lot of hats. I know. I was looking at it. I was like, ooh, that's going to take a while. Someone on my Facebook page was already like, just weave it. It'll go faster. But, yeah.
That's good, so if it's all the same gauge. It doesn't really matter. It all goes together.
I'll just work on it forever. I'll always work have it. Charity knitting stuff to do. So, yay.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that's it. I was kind of like, oh, I know last night I was... You know, I just wrapped up the socks and I was like, oh, I want to start a new project. And Ravelry was down and I was just like, but I can't think about knitting if I can't look at Ravelry. But I don't really know what I want to do next. I was thinking of knitting my beeswax hat, which is a pattern you gifted me. And I have a skein of Hazelnuts Lively for it.
Ooh, pretty.
But then I was also looking at Elizabeth's book. But I think I'm going to have to buy yarn. To do that, because I don't have a ton of sweater quantities of yarn right now. So, yeah, I'm kind of at a bit of a crossroads. And then, and I've been trying not to buy yarn just because I've got a lot of yarn. So, I was also...
You've got a lot of charity hats to
knit. Yeah, and I was also thinking, like, ooh, single skein September is coming up, and I could kind of dive into that, because I always enjoy that a lot. And I was thinking maybe of doing this year, challenging myself to do hand spun only for single skein September, because I have tons of little bitty skeins of hand spun.
That sounds like a good idea.
So that's kind of what's going on in my knitting life.
Cool.
What's going on with you?
I finished the pair of socks I was working on for Audrey, and that was Zitron Trekking XXL. And it's like a rainbow. But I call them color block socks because the stripes are really wide, because it's kind of a self-striper. And they will fit for about 2 weeks. I just knit them on the bus. So she tried them on. She likes them. So they fit for now. Yes. When it's really hot outside and she's not going to wear them. And then I finished the Prussian glitter cardi.
Right.
Yeah, it's finished. It's blocked. I had to sew buttons on and like trim the ends and stuff. It turned out lovely. That yarn is so soft. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. But I don't like even want to touch it right now because it's warm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or model a wool cardigan.
No, thank you. So that's it. That's what I finished. And Saturday, this last Saturday, I was looking at this pile of sweaters that I'm kind of unhappy with. And I was like, I'm going to frog one. So I ripped out my Myrna, which is an Andy Satterland pattern that I knit for the outfit along last year. And now I'm re-knitting it into another Andy Satterland pattern, which is Chuck. And it's a cropped pullover with the big cable motif down the front. And it's the palm green color. It's Cascade 220. Yeah. And I just joined for underneath the arms because it's top-down. And this cool top-down thing she does. If you've knit one of her patterns that's top-down, then you know what I'm talking about.
We're both so like, it's hot.
Yeah, it is
hot. I'm gonna eat one of these Erin made cookies. I'm gonna have a cookie.
I made jam thumbprints with my homemade apricot jam.
My favorite kind of cookie.
Oh really?
Yeah. Except my most favorite would be raspberry jam, but
we don't have raspberry
jam. But this is homemade jam, so that kind of takes a step above anyway. So
you're lucky I didn't choose strawberry.
I would have eaten it anyway. I love these.
I also made oatmeal cookies.
Yummy.
They're really good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And when I was at knitting Monday of last week, I was swatching for the channel cardigan.
Oh, right.
By Jared Flood from Brooklyn Tweed, or Wool People from last fall. I don't know what number it is. In the picture, it's like a mustardy yellow, big shawl collar. It has a belt. I'm not going to do the belt because belted sweaters are weird on me. It's not a very narrow waist and just is like, look at this waist I don't have. But it's in like all texture stitches.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Moss stitch and then kind of a chevron motif. And so you knit it and then you knit the front panel and the shawl collar separately at a denser gauge.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like a half brioche stitch, I think is what he calls it. So it's really, really snuggly. And then you seam it. But it has raglan sleeves, and I think I'm going to change it to set in, because I can do that. It's an option for me.
You have that power.
I do. Because I'm knitting it with Cascade 220, so it's not going to be as light and airy as the Shelter is going to be, because it's not spun the same way. It's a more dense yarn. So I just feel like the raglan lines would just, like, drag it off my shoulders.
Yeah, it'll be really heavy.
Yeah. So, and it'll be nice and cozy. But I'm going to cast that on. I'm going on vacation tomorrow. So I have some time.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was looking at Elizabeth's book, and I was thinking the one that I really wanted to make for myself was Copper Plate. And then I was like, oh, but then I'll be copying Erin. But then I remembered, like, you don't actually have that sweater.
No, I don't. So we won't be twins. Like, Elizabeth or Quince has that sweater.
Right, right. Yeah. But, yeah.
Also, it's, like, an extra small, I believe. Yes. So.
But I really like that one. I've been thinking about that pretty. Since the color blocked one, too. But it's done in two different, yeah.
I don't have yarn for any of them either.
I know.
I actually was thinking about knitting Clarendon and getting some Quince for it. Because, you know.
Yeah.
And that, like, kind of scummy green, like this color that they have.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a scummy yellowy green. Because that seems like it'd be a good cozy sweater for weekends and stuff.
Look at you making pullovers.
I don't know. It's weird.
Who are you?
I don't know.
It's like I don't even know you anymore.
I know.
We're not twins anymore if you're going to make pullovers.
I don't know. Well, the cropped one, I think, is this Chuck sweater. It's going to look really cute with my fit and flare dresses. That's kind of the point of it. And I have some high-waisted pencil skirts. So I throw in like a little button-up and that and pencil skirt. It'll be good for work. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. And then I started some vanilla socks. Here, I'll show them to you, because this is the self-striping yarn you gave me.
Oh. From Madrona. Oh, the one from Cannon?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Look,
oh, it's good.
Cool. Isn't that good?
It is good. Ooh, yeah. I picked a good one for you.
Yeah. So I'm just knitting vanilla socks, 64 stitches, like you usually do.
Oh, the color is I am so nicely.
Yeah, my zombie Hello Kitty socks that I knit are like my favorite ones.
Oh,
I love her base.
So good. Yeah, it's like really firm.
Mm-hmm.
Great stitches. Yeah, so it's like black stripes and then
kind of bluey, a bright blue.
Bright bluey stripes with a little bit of scummy green mixed in.
The color is I Am All Astonishment, and it's from her Pride and Prejudice series.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Now I'm jealous. I'm like, why did I give that to you? That was really good. I should have kept it to myself.
I think I have a wonky stitch right there. That's okay. It'll go on the back. But yeah, this is what I knit on the bus.
Oh, that's
it's like
good.
Plain socks. I'm going to finish this needle because I'm knitting them on with magic loop.
So what else? Are those all your whips?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, like two sweaters and a pair of socks. I think I'm good for a while. I have a sample knit coming in the mail to me
while
I'm on vacation, and it has like a 4-week turnaround. So, I mean, I'm a little overextended as soon as I get back from vacation with my knitting stuff. So, this is plenty.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about sewing real quick because I made this.
I thought that was new.
Yeah.
This being the dress that Erin is wearing right now.
Yeah, it's the same pattern as my navy blue one.
Okay.
But it's a different kind of fabric. It has a lot of horizontal stretch, which is fine. But,
and it's a plaid. So
it's a plaid.
Completely different look than the other dress.
Yeah, and they added sleeves. And
just little cap sleeves.
Yeah. It's new looks. I think it's 6223. That's what I wrote down because that's what I remembered. I'm not sure if that's right. So the pattern calls for lining, but because this has so much horizontal stretch, it's like I'm never going to freaking find a lining that's comparable. Like, the stretch is the same. Because I bought this at Stone Mountain and Daughter. It's like, Seattle doesn't have that great of apparel fabric stores. So I was like, I'm not going to search around all over the place.
Yeah.
To figure out, like, what I was going to do. So I did not line it. I didn't line the bodice. And instead, I finished the neckline and the sleeves with single fold bias tape.
Okay.
So I... what did I do? I sewed it onto the edge and then folded the edge up and pressed it and then sewed the top edge of the bias tape on the inside.
Yeah.
But it's nice.
Yeah.
Made a nice finished edge.
It
was really annoying because of all the horizontal stretch trying to match anything, but I was proud that I got the center orange line in the plaid to line up. But it has pleats, so the rest of it was
Gonna... Yeah, aren't gonna line up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good. I wore it to work today. It's comfortable. And I will be making this again.
All right.
It's like my pattern now.
It's yours, yeah.
I have some wool suiting that I got at Stone Mountain and Daughter in their clearance room upstairs for half off. And it's a plaid also, and I think I want to make that for fall, winter.
Cool.
Yeah. It's like my go-to pattern now.
Excellent.
Now that I've done, like, the...
Worked
the
full, at the bust
the full
adjustment.
Bust adjustment, yeah. And it's all traced out. I just have to, like, use that. So it's like, oh, that's the least amount of work. I'll do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you like the shape. And
I do
fits,
like the shape.
So,
yeah, yeah, and it has pockets. So, you know, all good.
All ticks all the boxes.
Yep.
Cool.
Have you been reading anything?
You read a ton last time. Yeah, I did, but I've started A Tale for the Time Being, which I think I mentioned, like, I just picked up from the library by Ruth Ozeki. I haven't gotten very far with it. It's for, like, the dumbest reason possible, which is that I keep reading it on the sofa downstairs, and then I leave it on the coffee table. And then when I go to bed, I'm like, I'm not going to go all the way down. And I totally petered out on talking to girls about Duran Duran because it just wasn't grabbing me. And instead, I got from the library... Hollow City, which is the second book in the Miss Peregrine School for the Peculiar Children. And I actually kind of, I'm liking this one a little bit more. Like, really? It's a little, I don't know. I don't want to say grittier, but it's just a little more immediate. It's like you're right in the middle of the action. The first one, you're kind of, it
a
starts.
Exposition.
Yeah, and you're kind of like. Meeting this kid, and he's just like, you know, a disaffected teenager, and blah, blah, blah. And this one, it's like, you're right in the middle of the action, and the action, and it's just more, it's interesting, but it's also the way that they're telling, that the author's telling the story is in these little bursts, like, this thing happened, that thing, and so, I don't know, so it's been really good, like, before bed reading, because I'll just read this one little snippet anyway. But so, I like it. I mean, I don't think it's like, the greatest thing I've ever read, but I'm still reading it. And then I was thinking there was another book I was reading too. That's not enough, but yeah, I kind of got like really cocky, like I'm reading all the books, woo, and like put too many things on hold at the library. Oh, I know what I was gonna say is that so for the last I don't know however many months, many months, like if I'm somewhere and I'm like. Don't have anything to do, I will read... I have Dragonfly and Amber, the second Outlander book.
Okay.
I have it for Kindle, so I can read it on my phone or my iPad if I'm just...
That's a long-ass book. It's going to take you so long to read.
I know. But so I've been reading it in, like, three-page spurts for months and months and months, and I just was reading it. And then I realized the other day, I was, like, sitting down, I was by my computer, and I thought, oh, I'll just pull it up on the cloud reader and just read it sitting here. I'll knit and read on my... And then it gives you the little percentage, so I'm, like, 32% of the way through this book.
Okay.
So I'm
well,
going to be...
Not bad.
After, for, like, 6 months.
Yeah. But, I mean, for how long it is, 32%.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I thought you were going to be like, and I'm only 2%
done. Well, I keep waiting for, like, the action to kind of kick in and to get swept up into it, but... This one just drags.
Is that the one where they go to Europe?
They're in Paris.
Okay.
And it's just, it's all this, like, political intrigue, but
yeah.
Political intrigue that doesn't actually move forward, where you're just, I don't know.
It's been a long time since I read that one.
And then when I read, like, 3 pages, and then I don't read it for 3 weeks, I come back to it, and I'm like, who's that? What is that? What happened? I don't really care that much. But so, yeah, I'm juggling too many things and I'm not making progress on any of them. But it's okay. But at least I'm reading. So I feel good about that. What are you reading?
I read a book called Ship of Fools by Richard Paul Russo. It won a Philip K. Dick Award.
Mm-hmm.
It's sci-fi. If you couldn't tell by the Philip K. Dick thing. it's an odd book. Noah read it and then gave it to me. So. That I would probably like it, which I did. I really liked it, but it's weird. So it's a spaceship called the Argonos that has this mission that no one really knows what the mission is anymore because they've been in space for so long.
Oh.
So the main character's name is Bartolomeo, and he has like I'm not sure if it's a club foot or something wrong with his foot. And then he was born with, like, mutated hands. So he has these prosthetic arms. Mm-hmm. And he wears this, like, exoskeleton thing for the so he could use the arms or whatever. So he's kind of a misfit. But he's good friends with the captain. And, like, the captain's not right-hand man. But, you know, the for captain, sure. like, bounces ideas off of him. Okay. And goes to him for advice and stuff. Which that has caused Bartolomeo to be, judged pretty harshly by the rest of the, like, higher up council members. And they don't trust him. But they've been at space for so long, and then there's stirrings of a rising by the lower deck members. Basically, they decide that they need to find a planet or something so they can at least say, hey, we may land, because it's been decades since they've come across a planet. And they were chased off the last one because there's a religious aspect to parts of the ship. Like, it's kind of like the Catholic Church. Like, that's a political power on the ship, but it's not it doesn't say, this is the Catholic Church, like, way far in the future. But yeah, the whatever native whatevers that were on the planet chased everyone off when they were trying to colonize because the bishop was acting all crazy.
Alright.
Yeah, so they find a planet and then crazy stuff happens on the planet and they get pointed, their ship gets pointed in this other direction. They follow where they were pointed to and they come across an alien spaceship and it's like empty and it's huge. So they, like, explore it. It's kind of a mystery, suspense, thriller, sci-fi. It's kind of at the cross-section of multiple genres. But I really enjoyed it. I read it really quickly. So cool. I recommend it if you like sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, like, straight-up sci-fi. I was talking to Noah about it. And it has, like, a couple, like, little horror elements to it. But it's not... That's not the main part of the book. It's them. It's Bartolomeo interacting with his crew members. And then this kind of mystery thing that's happening. Very good. And now I'm reading Joy in the Morning by P.G. Wodehouse. Which is great. I've never read any of his work.
You've never read any of the Jeeves ones? Mm-mm. Oh, God. They're so much fun.
Yeah. It's hilarious. Yeah. Andy lent it to me, actually. Oh, she's okay. Like, you would like this. And yeah. I do. If you don't know, it's the main character is this guy named Bertie Wooster, and this book was published in 1946, so it's very 1940s slang all over the place. Takes place in Britain. He's kind of a upper crust, young British guy with lots of money. He's got this butler named Jeeves who keeps him out of him out of trouble. Jeeves is very smart.
And Bertie is not,
but is there, like, his shenanigans, basically, what's happening.
They're so much fun. Yeah. I tried to get my older son to read one, like, years ago, but he didn't get any of the humor of it, because it's like, you have to understand all the social mores, and, you know.
I just love, like, I love the nicknames he gives everyone, like, his friend Boko, and his friend Nobby, and, you know... How he's, like, the upperest of stiff lips. Like, things like that. It's just funny. I'm really enjoying it. It's making me laugh, so. Yeah,
those are fun.
I'm about a third of the way through that.
Cool.
Also highly recommended.
Yeah. And then you can watch all the TV adaptations with Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry. Which are pretty cute, too.
Yeah, I was telling Nikki... about it, and she said that she tried to watch those and she didn't like it.
Oh, really?
Like, I told her she should read the book because the book is hilarious.
Huh.
Or the books.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it depends on your flavor of...
I was going to say, it's a particular breed of, like, you know, uber Britishy kind of humor, and it's also, I mean, it is very much of its time. It's, you know, the trope of, like, the butler who's always there to save the day, you know, the faithful servant and the hapless, you know, super entitled rich guy. But if you can see past that, which doesn't play too well to today's audience, it's still, like, just...
It's very humorous.
Very funny. Very dry British humor, so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reminds me of Are You Being Served? Mm-hmm. Which I loved. My sister and I used to watch that after school.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in years. Yeah. Movies? So, yeah, we went to go see Mission Impossible, which, I gotta say, I enjoyed it. I like the last one, too, that Brad Bird had directed, and this one, it's got Simon Pegg in it again, and I like Simon Pegg. I think what I like about it, like, it was funny because one of the trailers before it was for the new James Bond film, mm-hmm. and I cannot get excited about James Bond at all, and I don't know if it was one of the kids or Wes who was like, I don't understand, you like Mission Impossible, and I think the difference is that, at least at this point in the Mission Impossible series, it is, it's right there in the name, right? Everything they're doing is literally impossible. Mm-hmm. And it's all ridiculous, and even the people in the world of the film know what they're doing is ridiculous, and there's just this sort of kind of silliness, and this they're just going at full blast, and it's just for fun. Like, everything is just for fun. It's just, like, this pure entertainment. And I think Bond, it's, like, especially... And I say this without having actually seen anything. Like, the only Bond film I've seen of the last probably 8 was Casino Royale. But I think it feels like the Daniel Craig ones are trying to go for, like, seriousness and, like, not just action-y, campy Bondness, but drama. And I'm like, no, if you're going to, like, you know, run through an army that are all firing guns at you and not get shot, then you've got to play it to camp for me. Because I just can't take anything about the Bond franchise seriously. So when it takes itself seriously, it just doesn't work for me. I mean, I guess I say the same thing all the time. It's like, I like my action films to be a little on the goofy side. Like, if they're just, like, deadly serious, like, we are action and we're so serious, I just don't enjoy that much. But Mission Impossible, I actually thought it was... thought it was kind of fun, even though, speaking of which, the product placement in it is, like, so obscenely blatant. At times you're like, am I watching a car ad or am I watching a movie? But it was one of those, like, really hot nights where we were like, we're not staying at home, we're going to the movies. And then I finally watched all of Sense8, and I still stand by that I think the actress playing Nomi is a little stiff, and I had a hard time. Yeah. I felt like she was definitely a deficit. Like, some of the other actors were so much more engaging in their roles.
Oh, yeah.
And she, ironically, had one of the more, like, fraught storylines, and yet she seemed so boring.
And I agree.
And I was
she's
just like...
She's not my favorite.
I just kind of wished, like, ugh. And, you know, it's such a rare opportunity for a trans actress to get to play... Mm-hmm. You know, a very thoughtfully written trans character that...
It's like, even when she was playing super upset, I'm like, you're not really coming across
as
that upset.
Yeah, I just didn't believe her very much, which is just weird. It's like, I just didn't believe her in that character, in that...
Did you have a favorite, though?
Leto. I loved him! He's so... this is just me again. Like, I guess I'm just craving a little levity. Like, he's the character who brings all... I mean, he ends up having, like, a very serious plotline, but he brings all the lightness to the series,
I think,
rather.
Wolfgang also.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
because
Wolfgang and Son were my favorites.
Yeah, but, I just liked him so much. He was just so funny. I mean, and he's sweet, and I don't know. And I liked, like, the whole scene where you get to see what the action scene that they're filming for his movie looks like when he's all, like, wired up and being dragged across a room and things are exploding.
It's very, like, film within a film.
Yeah.
And then there's the other person coming in, too.
Right. Like one of the other people. Anyway, so, yeah, it's a crazy series, and it's one of those ones where it's like a time travel one where it's like, if you start to think about it, it makes zero sense.
Yeah.
And when it ends, it almost feels like it's the prelude to an actual series. Like, by the end of series one...
Like, okay, now we know who these people are.
Oh, yeah, you've only just been introduced really thoroughly to everyone, or they're only just coming to understand what's going on around them. And, yeah, so then... But there's this hint of... They've already announced that they're doing season two.
I assumed they were.
Yeah. So I'm curious where they go with it. But yeah, I definitely, I mean, I still, I can't even remember her name. The Indian doctor. I just didn't find her. Her plot line was so, again, was so dull compared to everybody else. But everybody else I thought was, you know, it's interesting and some
it's definitely new.
Yeah. It was unusual. It's like you kind of, you didn't know how it was going to unfold, and that I definitely enjoyed about it. So that was...
So last time we were talking about this, I was talking about nudity, equality, then Jessica posted something on Facebook on my wall.
Kevin Bacon has made a video. I don't know if it was Funny or Die or what. It's hashtag Free the Bacon, where he's advocating for more male nudity in film. And offering to do it himself, so it's just—it's a very funny little video. So, but it was funny because it was right after we had this conversation, and then I found this, and I was like, "Oh, I gotta send this to Aaron."
Hilarious! Yeah, I like it. That was even though it's good. Kevin Bacon,
he's yes, not my favorite, I know he's not my favorite
hashtag
either.
Free the Bacon. I don't know about that. But the idea behind it, yes, I support.
Yes,
the hashtag I don't.
You're not much of a hashtag activist yourself. So.
No, I'm not.
No, definitely not.
No.
What have you been watching?
Twin Peaks season 2. It's like when I don't know what I feel like watching, I'm just mad at Netflix and HBO. I'm like, God! And I just watch Twin Peaks and then it's fine. I watched Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh, right. Yeah. I only watched the first one so far. I keep forgetting to go back.
It was okay. They're only 20-something minutes. We watched the whole thing in a couple of evenings, but it's okay. I mean, it has Paul Rudd, so selling point for me.
Yeah.
I thought of it, some of it was ridiculous. I mean, it's all kind of ridiculous, but some of the humor, I think, was not quite there. Yeah. Not the level of the movie, anyway.
Yeah. I'm still just so amazed they were able to get...
Everybody
who are now all like huge stars to come back. I mean, to come back and reprise their roles. Like, I mean, Bradley Cooper and Amy Poehler.
Sean Benjamin was pretty funny.
Oh God, yeah, love him.
I always forget the guy who plays the cook. What his name is?
Chris Maloney.
CSI and stuff like that. Yeah,
he's or good. Law and Order. SVU. Order. Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
one of those things.
That one of those other sets of initials. Yeah.
I watched two documentaries. Mm-hmm. So I watched one called Surviving Progress, which is a documentary about, it's kind of an abstract concept, I guess, about progress, especially since the Industrial Revolution, and how there's this assumption that all progress is good progress, and then, you know, they talk about what would actually be good progress versus what is bad progress. Like, not looking forward enough to see repercussions of things that were happening, like pollution or... Mm-hmm. They used an example of, hunter-gatherer societies getting really good at hunting. And really good at hunting in that one group would kill, two woolly mammoths and be like, hey, we're good, rather than the guys who figured out that if they could cause them to stampede off a cliff, they'd have tons and tons of food, but they also killed their food source.
Right.
Like, for, you know, the next year or 2 years or whatever, which would actually cause the decline of their civilization. So they talked a lot about capitalism as well, current capitalism, which is based on an ever-expanding need for things, an ever-expanding population, and how that's not feasible given the fact that Earth does not have ever-expanding resources. It's the opposite. So how do you work with that? Right. So it was really, I mean, It was really interesting.
I was going to say, super upbeat, right?
Yeah, super upbeat. But, you know, and it had Stephen Hawking in it and some other kind of well-known people whose other, like, I can't remember their names now. It's been, like, a week since I watched it. And the other upbeat documentary I watched is called The True Cost, and it's similar to the High Cost of Fast Fashion right. documentary. So it's all about the fashion industry and focuses a lot on fast fashion and how really, really terrible it is.
Yes.
And that people just think it's how it is, but it's only been in the last, like, 15 years that that's really become a thing. And especially since, and leading up to that from the 1950s. So it's, yeah, it's not a downer. I think it's really good to watch, though.
Yeah.
They talk a lot about H&M and Zara and Forever 21. Because in the supply chain, you can't really squeeze the cost of goods. The only where you can squeeze out cost is in the human production.
Right.
And that is what leads to the horrible conditions in sweatshops. So they talk to people who work in sweatshops in different areas. Bangladesh, they focus a lot on. Mm-hmm. We talk about worker strikes in Cambodia, China. They talk about the building collapse in Bangladesh. Right. Was that last year or the year before?
Yeah.
And then they also interview a couple people in the industry who are trying to change things. Mm-hmm. Stella McCartney is one, which I did not know. And then they talk a lot to a woman, I can't remember her name, but her company is called Tree People, or People Tree? People Tree, where she works with people in India and other countries who have particular skills, and she groups them together to create sustainable work for them and fashion lines with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of, you know,
like what Lantern Moon does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are actually, I mean, I just know it from being in the yarn. Having been in the yarn industry, that there are other, or like Della Q also, like, has a group of women that she works with in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And they've trained, and, you know, there's smaller projects, but definitely not a lot of bigger retailers getting into
Yeah, so I think she's been, this woman who runs People Tree, she started her company like 30 years ago, and she's always focused on sustainability and healthy environmental practices, which that's the other really huge thing, is like everyone, the whole fashion industry is so dependent on cotton, which is like the worst crop ever for pesticides. And the filmmaker went to different areas of India. They have a very high level of physical retardation, mental health problems. They have a huge, like, the past 5 years, a high number of suicides because farmers have to buy, like, is it Monsanto that owns all the seeds? Yeah. And then they have to buy the pesticides. At first you get a really high yield from your crop, and then you have to use more and more pesticides to get more results, but it damages the land so much that you can't ever get those good results again. And then they go bankrupt because they can't afford to buy more seeds and buy more. Like, it's this horrible cycle. And farmers just, you know, commit suicide because they can't keep up with it. And it's also causing really terrible health problems.
Yeah.
So, it is not a feel-good documentary. But I do highly recommend it, just because, like, I think if everyone picked up a t-shirt that cost $5 that said, you know, made in India, and thought about all the horrible things that are happening to the people making the t-shirt, maybe they would pay $15 at some other place. Well, or
Melissa Worley just posted on Instagram tonight about this exact same thing, because she's been doing a project all year where she's like vowed not to buy any clothes and just to make her own. And sorry, I'm trying to like pull it up while we're talking here, but yeah, she just posted, like, I just saw before I left. Yeah, because she just watched The True Cost. Yeah, so she just posted on Instagram about it too, where she said, Whenever I think about the terrible conditions of factory workers around the world, I feel sick. As a protest against fast fashion, I sew. No one should make little money, be beaten for trying to better working conditions or have their health compromised. Also, H&M, Forever 21, or Zara can sell a shirt for $10. Hashtag handmade wardrobe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she had pledged to do that last year, and she's been working, like, documenting.
Well, that kind of lit a fire under me to sew more.
Yeah.
And to not buy things from fast fashion type stores. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't shop that much in general, but it was just, so yeah, it's worth watching. It's on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, I recommend it. Mm-hmm. Just don't watch it when you're already like kind of sad. Cause it's not going to make you happier.
Here, I just heard on NPR, I think it was yesterday, they were running a story about movies to watch when the weather's really hot. And they were talking about all, like, these snowy movies to watch.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Dr. Zhivago and, or The Shining or
Dead Snow is also a good one if you like zombies.
Yeah, there you go.
There's also knitwear in it, so win-win.
Oh, yeah, I just saw the trailer today for the new Tarantino film, The Hateful Eight, and I spent most of it, like, looking at Samuel Jackson's scarf, which is just, like, a gray stockinette scarf, but I'm like... It's really cold. Maybe there'll be more knitwear here. I'm like scanning the screen for like, where's the knitwear? So, yeah.
That's all I've been watching.
Okay.
Yeah. Just I have plans to watch Birdman because it's on HBO now and I haven't seen it yet. I was going to watch it last night, but I could not stay up the 2 hours required. And I have no idea what the technology situation is where we're going on vacation. So.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if the house even has a TV. Which is fine. I'll just sit around and knit with my sister. So I think that's it.
I think that is it.
Oh my gosh, this is
yeah, I know. We're like just zipping through it now. Yeah. All right. Well, show notes at doublenit.net. And you can join us on our Ravelry group at Doublenit Podcast.
Join the Cardi Party.
Join the Cardi Party.
I'll be casting on this weekend.
What?
And that's Audrey.
Those cookies look good.
They do look good, don't they? All right. That was Audrey. Cameo.
Okay. It's been a long time since she's had a cameo on the podcast. All right.
All right.
Good night.
Summer on your papery skin. Been saved, the warm of the waves. I felt a slip into a watery grave. Oh, 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 oh. La-da-da-da-da. My girl, linen in curls, lips parting like a flag will unfurled. She's grand, the bend of her the sweep of the sand, oh, 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 oh. La-da-da-da-da. Oh, oh, oh. Summer arrives with a length of light. Summer swallowed by a wave. Way late, the din of the day. Boats bobbing in the blue of the bay. In deep, far beneath, all the dead sailors slowly slipping to sleep. Oh, oh. Sweep of the sand, oh, 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 oh. La-da-da-da-da, oh, 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 oh. get swallowed by a whale. It gets swallowed by a whale. It gets swallowed by a whale. It gets swallowed by a whale.